This is side 2, tape 1 of An Organic Order, beginning in the section under System in part 3, the Principles of the Administrative Order. That's part 2, the Principles of the Administrative Order. He indicated that the apostles of Baha'u'llah in every land have before them in clear, in unequivocal, and emphatic language all the laws, the regulations, the principles, the institutions, the guidance they require for the prosecution and consummation of their task. Says the law of Baha'u'llah insists upon the subordination of national interests to the imperative claims of a unified world, repudiates excessive centralization, disclaims all attempts at uniformity, and calls its watchword unity in diversity. He asks us to sweep away and relegate to the limbo of obsolescent and forgotten doctrines, institutions and social assumptions and religious formulae which have ceased to promote the welfare of the generality of mankind, extols the infinite diversity of the national characteristics of the future world's federated units, identifies the method of the faith as scientific, and indicated that the law of consultation is the bedrock of this unique order. These are from references 75 through 93. We now need to ask, what would we find if we were to attempt a generalized statement of the principles that lie at the base of this three-part grouping of the administrative principles gleaned from the writings of Shoghi Effendi? As stated earlier, the purpose of this paper is to assist in the discovery and understanding of the principles that underlie the administrative order. And this is being done for two primary reasons. In the first place, it will help us to gain a more comprehensive understanding of the nature of the instruments that have been placed in our hands, and secondly, by seeing the administrative order in its systemic wholeness, we will have before us an infallible expression of the order of Baha'u'llah, from the guardian of the faith and the expounder of the Word of God, by which we may infer aspects of the path to take in discovering the principles of that more general order. By constantly checking back to Shoghi Effendi's particular expression of the order of Baha'u'llah, we should be able to determine if we are on the right course in systematizing the principles of the larger order. The following constitutes a tentative summary of the general systemic characteristics of the administrative order, from which we may be able to infer some of the principles of the nature of the underlying structure. This offering is tentative because of the limited scope of the present study, and because of the feeling that a more comprehensive and ordered system should come from a collaborative effort of a multidisciplinary group of Baha'i scholars, biologists, and general scientists. Summary of the general system of the Baha'i administrative order. The Baha'i system is one of an integrated set of laws and institutions that will provide the basic structure for the entire dispensation, a structure which also allows for new legislation to meet the exigencies of the times. This set of laws and principles provides for an orderly process of evolution and development of all aspects and at all levels of the administrative order, from the individual and family to the nation and planet. The administrative order is stratified into a hierarchy where each institution possesses the same general purposes, yet each expresses the process according to its specific limitations and to the conditions of its environment. The supreme organ, the Universal House of Justice, provides overall direction, legislates to fill the gaps in the law, and resolves questions where differences occur at the lower levels. Each stratification of the administrative order, while being involved in the general unity of the entity, manifests an autonomy and unity in and of itself. Each subsystem has all the information it needs for the prosecution and consummation of its tasks in erecting the administrative order. A stabilizing relationship of negative or self-correcting feedback exists between the institutions of the learned and the institutions of the rulers. The mandating of the law of consultation as the method of the elected, with unanimity as their goal, gives yet another level of self-correcting feedback, as well as providing the method for the determination of the direction of the organism at all levels. In looking at Shoghi Effendi's particular expression of the order of Baha'u'llah, what can we infer about the nature of the order itself? We see first and foremost the guiding hand of divinity, of supreme intelligence. we see the law of divine unity and the principle of relationship through communication. We can see dynamic change, birth, growth and development, decay and death. We see constant evolution focused upon a purpose, which is not so much an end state as it is a stable state of being and becoming with all parts and components in reciprocal balance. We see a system that is arranged in a hierarchical order composed of subsystems and supersystems which reflect the same pattern, yet where the integrity of rank and station is preserved. And lastly, we see the capacity of the system to renew and regenerate itself at stated periods, as well as the capacity of the system essentially to recreate itself in the event of catastrophic changes in its general environment. These notes are made as an indication of the general character of what we might be able to discover as we seek to uncover the nature of the particular philosophy of Baha'u'llah. Indeed, we shall see in the next section the confirmation of some of these ideas. While it is beyond the scope of this paper to analyze exhaustively and to systematize the essential relationships that must obtain in the organic connections between and among the institutions of the administrative order, reference 94, this must eventually be done, and such a document should receive constant reference by anyone who seeks to systematize Baha'u'llah's philosophy. We are attempting to comprehend a system which is highly complex but comprehensible, yet made somewhat more difficult by our close proximity to the embryonic nucleus. We may remain confident, however, that the mystery will be increasingly unfolded as we apply these principles with knowledge and understanding and see the visible result of the interaction of the spirit of the age with the channel and instrument which is in our hands. Indeed, quote, "the fruit, ere it is formed, lieth potentially within the tree, and dissection or analysis at too early a stage will yield no sign nor any part of the fruit." Reference 95. Part 3. Principles Underlying the Contingent World. Having looked at a brief yet fairly comprehensive summary of the various administrative principles in terms of three primary characteristics of biological organisms, we need to see them now in terms of general principles relating to the contingent world voiced by Baha'u'llah and Abdu'l-Bahá. The purpose of this section is to identify a few of the general principles that describe the nature of the contingent world according to the philosophy of Baha'u'llah. Chowi Effendi says that in the Tablet of Wisdom, Baha'u'llah set forth the fundamentals of true philosophy. This tablet, then, must be one of our primary reference sources. Rather than setting forth a philosophy per se in this tablet, Baha'u'llah points to the path one should take and indicates criteria which one should use in seeking to comprehend reality. He says, quote, "The beginning of wisdom is to acknowledge whatsoever God hath clearly set forth." Reference 97. If we search for the very clear principles and constantly check back to Shoghi Effendi's elucidation of these principles in the construction of the administrative order, I'm sure that gradually we will be able to lay a solid foundation upon which a philosophy could be elaborated. While we must exercise a reasonable caution to keep from jumping to unfounded conclusions, we must also be pragmatic and realize that even a sketchy yet comprehensive outline would find immediate use in the organization of all the tasks of educating a massive population of newly enrolled believers. Philosophy, like science, is a continual process of discovery. Our knowledge and understanding of these principles will be increasingly unfolded throughout the dispensation, and most especially if we use and test knowledge and understanding against reality as it actually exists. The following series of excerpts constitutes only a brief survey of some of the most clearly stated principles concerning the nature of the contingent world from the writings of Baha'u'llah and Abdu'l-Bahá. Inasmuch as we ourselves are bound to the contingent world, yet have a spiritual capacity, the powers of the human spirit and of the spirit of faith, a few of the quotations will relate to Baha'u'llah. Baha'u'llah indicates one source for our knowledge. Quote, Look at the world, and ponder a while upon it. It unveileth the book of its own self before thine eyes, and revealeth that which the pen of the Lord, the fashioner, the all-informed, hath inscribed therein. It will acquaint thee with that which is within it and upon it, and will give thee such clear explanations as to make thee independent of every eloquent expounder. Reference 98. He also says, quote, "Nature is God's will, and is its expression in and through the contingent world." Reference 99. In these very first references, we discover the essential character of the particular philosophy of Baha'u'llah that Shoghi Effendi must have relied upon in elaborating the principles of the administrative order. The organic principles of the administrative order are based on an organic philosophy. Everything manifesteth the sign of his unity. Reference 100. Say, "Nature, in its essence, is the embodiment of my name, the maker, the creator. Its manifestations are diversified by varying causes, and in this diversity there are signs for men of discernment." Reference 101. Consider the signs of the revelation of God in their relation one to another. Reference 102. To transgress the limits of one's own rank and station is in no wise permissible. The integrity of every rank and station must needs be preserved. By this is meant that every created thing should be viewed in the light of the station it hath been ordained to occupy. Reference 103. Everything must needs have an origin. The word of God is the cause which hath preceded the contingent world, a world which is adorned with the splendors of the Ancient of Days, yet is being renewed and regenerated at all times. 104. Those who have rejected God and firmly cling to nature as it is in itself are verily bereft of knowledge and wisdom. Therefore their eyes were shut and their thoughts differed. 105. Whatsoever in the contingent world can either be expressed or apprehended can never transgress the limits which by its inherent nature have been imposed upon it. 106. Viewed in the light of the manifestation's second station, the station of distinction, differentiation, temporal limitations, characteristics, and standards, they manifest absolute servitude, utter destitution, and complete self-effacement, even as he saith, "I am the servant of God, I am but a man like you." 107. It is clear and evident, therefore, that any apparent variation in the intensity of their light is not inherent in the light itself, but should rather be attributed to the varying receptivity of an ever-changing world. 108. All things are subject to this same principle of moderation. 109. The higher plane, however, understandeth the lower, notwithstanding the fact that all these entities coexist in the phenomenal world. Even so, no lower degree can ever comprehend a higher. 110. It is obvious that all created things are connected one to another by a linkage complete and perfect. 111. A universal power inevitably existeth, which encompasseth all, directing and regulating all the parts of this infinite creation. 112. Furthermore, although all created things grow and develop, yet they are subjected to influences from without, and likewise, those outside influences are subjected to other influences in their turn. Thus, each one of these entities exerteth its influence and is likewise influenced in its turn. Inescapably, then, the process leadeth to one who influenceth all and yet is influenced by none, thus severing the chain. 113. The existence of all things is based upon this principle of composition and decomposition. But when the order is deranged, decomposition is produced, and disintegration setteth in. The cohesive and attractive forces in all things lead to the appearance of fruitful results and effects, while estrangement and alienation of things leads to disturbance and annihilation. 114. Every created thing in the contingent world is made up of many and varied atoms, and its existence is dependent on the composition of these. 115. In other words, through the divine creative power, a conjunction of simple elements taketh place, so that from this composition a distinct organism is produced. 116. According to an intrinsic law, all phenomena of being attain to a summit and degree of consummation, after which a new order and condition is established. 117. These elements became composed and organized and combined in infinite forms, or rather, from the composition and combination of these elements, innumerable beings appeared. This composition and arrangement, through the wisdom of God and His pre-existent might, were produced from one natural organization, which was composed and combined with the greatest strength, conformable to wisdom and according to a universal law. In the same way, the growth, that reference 118, in the same way, the growth and development of all beings is gradual. This is the universal divine organization and the natural system. The organization of God is one. The evolution of existence is one. The divine system is one. Whether they be small or great beings, all are subject to one law and system. 119. Know that nothing which exists remains in a state of repose. That is to say, all things are in motion. Everything is either growing or declining. All things are either coming from non-existence into being or going from existence into non-existence. This state of motion is said to be essential, that is, natural. It cannot be separated from beings because it is their essential requirement. 120. The reality of man is the collective reality, the general reality, and is the center where the glory of all the perfections of God shine forth, that is to say, for each name, each attribute, each perfection which we affirm of God, there exists a sign in man. If it were otherwise, man could not imagine these perfections and could not understand them. 121. Following is a summarization of what is felt are some of the key concepts in these references, which may help us to adopt an organic orientation toward the construction of the administrative order, as well as to provide a beginning basis for deriving the philosophy of Baha'u'llah. Baha'u'llah sets forth the fundamental principle of relativity and indicates the necessity for considering the various entities of the contingent world in relation to each other as well as in relation to their own station. Everything is subject to one organization, one universal law, which extends its influence through all levels and kingdoms of creation. Every created thing has distinct attributes and the capacity to influence other beings. Each created thing is also subject to particular limitations as a function of the kingdom it is within, and its rank and station within that realm. Everything manifests the sign of unity, while being completely and perfectly linked to everything else in a unified whole, it nevertheless is also autonomous in a certain respect. The nature of life is ever-changing motion, renewal, and regeneration. There are no things, there are rather beings in the process of becoming something closer to fulfilling their capacity within the limitations of their rank and station. Beings progress by the bounty of the universal influence of the Almighty. This progress is gradual and developmental and consists of stages of stages or orders of orders. Contingent beings all manifest the qualities of distinction, differentiation, temporal limitations, characteristics, and standards. There is a network of mutual interactions among beings. Their manifestations are diversified by varying causes, and within this diversity, there are signs for men of discernment. While this cannot be regarded as anything but a halt beginning to what must be a long, arduous, and continuing task, we nevertheless can see in each of these passages glimmerings of some of the central principles that must have surged through the mind of Shoghi Effendi in setting forth the broad outlines of the administrative order. From the fundamental principle that we should look to nature if we are to discover the diverse but integrated manifestations of the will of God derives the essential character of the administrative order. Shoghi Effendi's many references to order are a reflection of the name of Baha'u'llah, quote, the organizer of the entire planet, reference 122. A manifestation of his teachings of the dynamic interrelationship, exertion of influence, and total integrity of coherence of principle that must characterize the organization of the contingent world. Could not the dynamic terms he uses in describing the vitality which must characterize a living and progressive faith be derived from those principles of composition and decomposition and the limitations and capacities and virtues of rank and station? Has he not defined the sphere of action for every institution such that its identity, autonomy, and integrity are able to be preserved, yet in broad enough terms so as to allow for the expansion of functions in the future? And is this not a reflection of the name of God, the incomparable? Do we not see in these overarching principles from Baha'u'llah and Abdu'l-Bahá intimations of each and every administrative principle we have uncovered in the preceding section? Part 4. Application of the General Principles. Let us now shift into the framework of day-to-day Baha'i administrative life to see how we might apply some of these systemic principles in an integrated manner. I have been slowly working my way through a comprehensive study of consultation for the past 10 years, and since the law of consultation is the, quote, bedrock of this unique order, perhaps this would serve as a good example. Baha'u'llah has not answered in advance every specific question that might be posed. He has instead given us a method and a means whereby we ourselves might be able to discern the truth of a matter. The means for each individual is the gift of understanding through the power of the soul, and the method for our collective institutions is consultation, the object of which, according to Abdu'l-Bahá, is the investigation of truth. Reference 123. But the concept of truth is a philosophical consideration. In order for members of spiritual assemblies to come to an agreement on what represents the truth, they must all be proceeding from the same general conception of reality. The order of Baha'u'llah is our all-embracing reality. The particular philosophy given to us by Baha'u'llah is that set of universally operative, generalized principles which describe the systemic nature of that order. As more and more members of spiritual assemblies come to comprehend this philosophy, our assemblies will function with greatly increased efficiency and effectiveness. Let's now look at consultation in the same terms in which we broke down the principles of the administrative order: unity, dynamism, and system. Unity. How many manifestations of the sign of his unity can we find in a consultative body such as a local spiritual assembly? They are so numerous that they could hardly be counted, but we can list the more obvious ones readily: the assembly, individuals, individual souls, their intellects, their knowledge, perceptual systems, the community they represent, the particular language used in the meeting, the particular language each person feels most comfortable with, the 7-year plan, the divine plan, the laws of the faith, the principles of the faith, the situation confronting the assembly, and the process of consultation itself. All of these manifest the sign of unity. They all exhibit an organizational closure. They are all autonomous entities in certain respects. There are a great many others which could be listed, but if you get the idea that each of these entities has a rank and station, that each is subject to certain limitations, that they must each be considered in their relation one to another, as well as in relation to the station it hath been ordained to occupy, that each is a process itself involved in the act of becoming and doing so gradually and progressively, you get an idea of the complex of things that must be considered by each individual on a consultative body. Dynamism. Looking at each of these entities, let's now see where the dynamic qualities are manifested. Each individual is in the process of spiritualizing his or her own self. The assembly becomes more spiritualized as each individual makes progress. The unity manifested by the assembly members dynamically affects the other members of the community. The language of consultation becomes increasingly centered around the words of Baha'u'llah. The 7-year plan is moved farther along, as is the divine plan, through the dynamic action of the individuals, the assembly, and the community. The process of consultation flows such that every member is aware of the dynamic unity that has been created by their increasing love for each other and their increasing love for Baha'u'llah and for the faith. The laws are applied with justice and equality. The highest principles of the faith are translated into assembly decisions and community action. The assembly understands that consultation is not a stepwise method, but rather a dynamic process dependent on many factors. The assembly stays dynamically engaged with each issue until it achieves unanimity. Each individual listens actively without looking for the opening to jump in. The assembly feels the dynamic link with Abdu'l-Bahá and the Supreme Concourse. System. Manifesting the sign of his unity and being involved in a dynamic, ever-changing process are two systemic attributes which have been considered above. What are some of the other implications of being systemic? Individual assembly members know that the assembly's efficacy depends upon their reciprocal interaction with the Word of God, their translation of that which hath been written into reality and action, reference 124, and their being focused on the purpose of God for man in this day. Each knows that the assembly's scientific quality depends on how he or she relates to the system, or order, of laws and principles underlying reality. Each is involved in a systematic process of educating his or her own self, of stripping away veils and illusions, of intellectually comprehending the systemic order, and of intellectually adjusting physical perception so that it corresponds more closely to reality. Each understands the administrative order as an order, where principles interact with each other in a dynamic relative balance focused on the unity of humankind, and not as a mere listing of do's and don'ts to be obeyed. Each understands that the vitality of the organ depends on the reactive, pruning effect of enforcing the laws, as well as on the proactive application of principles which beckon the individual and the community to a higher state of being. Each assembly understands the nature of policy and principles and offers a coherent system of guidelines to its subsystems, for example, committees and individuals, when it asks them to assume responsibility within a certain arena. Each individual realizes that the goals of plans are a continuous, ongoing series of benchmarks in the gradual process of becoming for the community and not some ultimate state where we can say we have arrived. Truly, one could go on and on with examples of this type. The point is that at all levels of the order of Baha'u'llah, we are guided and governed by a single set of interrelated principles, a philosophy, the basic nature and character of which is known only in its broad outlines. It is one which is of a qualitatively different nature than the order that permeated and governed the world of humanity in the past, but whose pattern lingers on in our habits, thoughts, and conceptions of reality. The philosophy of Baha'u'llah is potent, sound, and universal. It informs the reality of every complexity, yet its principles revolve around a single point. Part 5. The Systemic Problem. To get our assemblies and communities to manifest the ideal conditions set forward in the writings of the faith, we must first, as individuals, manifest these ideals in our own thoughts, actions, and habits. Without this sort of individual endeavor, the collective institutions are paralyzed, reference 125. This section is concerned with the difficulty of gaining, on an individual level, the knowledge of just exactly what that ideal balance is. Before proceeding, however, we must again call to mind the fact that it is a new order we are trying to perceive, and that it is Baha'u'llah's new standard. This standard is not an abstract ideal. It's already an implicate, literally folded up within, prepotent reality. We are the ones who are going to have to make the shift from our old frames of reference into the framework of this new system. But even an intellectual comprehension of this fact is not enough to provide the foundation we need. We need a more enhanced context, which provides a specific and particular order. There are systemic reasons why it's difficult for me to understand, let alone be able to convey to you, what I feel must be understood in order for this matter to seem either believable or significant. What is required here is a change in order comparable to the shift in hierarchical distinction from the essential nature of the animal kingdom to that of the human kingdom, or from that of the human kingdom to the spirit of faith. The systemic structure and the difficulty of effecting a change of order has been the primary subjects of a number of scientific works of late, reference 126. For the uninitiated, it may seem like jumping into the middle of a muddle where confusion reigns supreme, but I assure you, once you get your feet wet, the problem and its associated discoveries become as enticing and sweet as mental baklava as they fold over on themselves. Let me attempt to set the context from the writings of the Bab and Baha'u'llah. The Bab has alluded to the blindness from which we all suffer that makes the problem so difficult to perceive. Quote, O sun like mirrors, look ye upon the sun of truth, ye verily depend upon it, were ye to perceive it. Ye are all as fishes moving in the waters of the sea, veiling yourselves therefrom, and yet asking what it is on which ye depend. I complain unto thee, O mirror of my generosity, against all the other mirrors. All look upon me through their own colors. Reference 127. As the fish are to the sea, so we are to the order of Baha'u'llah. We use the capacities bestowed by that order to come to know about various other aspects of the order without having to understand and comprehend the full nature of the order itself. The order both empowers and limits us. It colors our vision so as to make us able to see, but we are not necessarily conscious of the limitations placed on us by virtue of this coloring. Baha'u'llah describes the veils and limitations in a similar fashion in the fourth valley of the seven valleys, when he cautions the wayfarer that the lamp will color the light, but the light itself is unaffected, and that our true goal is to see nothing but the sun itself. Reference 128. In fact, the whole of the seven valleys is an essay on the progressive unfoldment and discovery of the order of Baha'u'llah. 129. Baha'u'llah has presented the essential structure of the problem we face in his most holy book, the Kitab-i Aqdas. Say, O leaders of religion, weigh not the book of God with such standards and sciences as are current amongst you, for the book itself is the unerring balance established amongst men. In this most perfect balance, whatsoever the peoples and kindreds of the earth possess must be weighed, while the measure of its weight should be tested according to its own standard, did ye but know it. 130. Using the book as the standard, we are to weigh all things. But we must even weigh the book with its own self. How can you take a scale and weigh it with itself? Where do we mark the reference points? What is the context we can use in order to find the reference points that inhere within the system? Baha'u'llah has placed us into a paradoxical situation where it seems that we have no context or standard for making any kind of judgment, and then told us that if we are to weigh the book, we must use its own standard. He has asked us to manifest a similar condition in the Kitab-i Iqan if we are to be true seekers. He says that after determining to take the step of search in the path leading to the knowledge of the Ancient of Days, the true seeker must so cleanse his heart that no remnant of either love or hate may linger therein, lest that love blindly incline him to error, or that hate repel him away from the truth. Reference 131. What we are doing is trying to jump into the framework of a new order from within the structure of the present order that limits us. We live in a world of relativities. Our minds establish a relationship with what is set before them. But what has been set before our minds in the past provides the context for and colors the perception of possible relationships with anything new. What is the context for the human realm? There are several contextual systems within which every human being is raised, such as language, culture, and perceptual systems. Each of these is a system itself with its own necessary limits and powers. By and large, we are unconscious of the limits they impose upon us. Let's take a broad look at the structure of some of these systems. Perceptually, Baha'u'llah says, the power of vision is the chief instrument whereby man's understanding can function. 132. The process of image formation is unconscious. We have no control over what the eye sees on the immediate level. Reference 133. We can, through long and intense training, teach the eye to see differently, but most of us have never experienced this. The processes of vision are structured, and they are largely structured in relation to our hands. Try performing some manipulative exercise with your hand by watching your hand in the mirror, not seeing it directly, to see how unconscious you are of that relationship. Whatever we see is not the essential reality, but rather a representation of some of its qualities. It is a coded representation in our brain of the light reflected from a physical entity. The light, which is reflected, is also structured. Our receptors are structured, and our brain selects from that image facts which have survival value for us. In other words, we see what we select, and we select from structured representations rather than from the essence. We must, therefore, learn to select that which has the closest correspondence to reality. Curiously enough, the fundamental basis for all the perceptual systems is the awareness of difference or distinction, which, according to Baha'u'llah, is one of the most fundamental characteristics of the contingent world. Linguistically, anyone who knows two or more languages knows that translation is not one for one. Different languages structure different realities for us. The subject-predicate structure of the English language, which provides us with the context of things performing action, rather than dynamic systems interacting with other dynamic systems, will, of necessity, exclude a lot of process thinking, which will be required for comprehending an organic order. Culturally, cultural binds are the most pervasive limitations in the human environment. Language, tradition, expectation, inconsistency in unconsciously held values, superstition, all of these structures are imbibed unconsciously from the culture we are raised within. We are blind to their limits as a fish is blind to the water that sustains its life. Professionally, career education is largely a process of being trained to see certain things in a certain way and to think about them within a particular context, almost to the exclusion of alternative perspectives. These systemic limitations are not necessarily either internally consistent or mutually consistent with each other, nor are we necessarily conscious of the particular and inherent limits of any of these systems. On the contrary, it is a known fact in the social and psychological sciences that we are definitely unconscious of the fact that we are limited in most of these areas. We know that Baha'u'llah has instilled a new order into the system, that this order lies at the base of all creation, and that the philosophy of this order is potent, sound, and universal. It is necessary for us, in all aspects of our lives as Baha'is, to reflect the internal consistency of this order if we hope to understand ourselves or others, if we hope to comprehend the true nature of the administrative order, and if we hope to attract a bewildered, confused world which has lost its sense of direction. The reality of the nature of the Baha'i faith as a new order was beautifully explained by the National Spiritual Assembly of the United States several years ago. Quote, "As a general policy, subject to the Guardian's specific direction in special cases, Baha'is and their administrative institutions should not feel obligated to adopt a, quote, Baha'i attitude or course of action on matters of civil legislation. Our teachings and basic principles speak for themselves. These we can always declare and set forth with all possible energy whenever occasions arise. But a truth which is sundered from its sustaining spiritual source, lifted out of its organic relationship to the Baha'i community, broken off from the other truths, and made subject to the storm and stress of secular controversy, is no longer a truth with which we can usefully have concern. It has become an enactment to be carried out by institutions and groups committed to other enactments, other aims and purposes and methods not in conformity with the divine polity entrusted to those alone who give full loyalty to Baha'u'llah. Far better for us to strive to mirror forth radiantly the individual and community virtues of a new era than to hope others than believers will achieve the holy mission of the faith. We Baha'is have in reality accepted a world order and not merely a new decalogue of truths or commands. Reference 134. I would like to call to mind the opening quotation of the Kitab-i Aqdas. The world's equilibrium hath been upset through the vibrating influence of this most great, this new world order. Mankind's ordered life hath been revolutionized through the agency of this unique, this wondrous system, the like of which mortal eyes have never witnessed. Say, this is the infallible balance which the hand of God is holding, in which all who are in the heavens and all who are on the earth are weighed and their fate determined. 135. It is necessary that we discover this new balance and equilibrium which permeates all creation. With all the inherent limitations of our senses, language, culture, and philosophy, we have such great obstacles as to seem almost insurmountable. But in the Kitab-i Aqdas, and even in the same passage where Baha'u'llah refers to the new system and equilibrium, he gives us the method by which we can resolve this dilemma. He says, "Immerse yourselves in the ocean of my words, that ye may unravel its secrets and discover all the pearls of wisdom that lie hid in its depths." Reference 136. If we are to attempt to understand and comprehend his system, when we have no encompassing framework with which to surround that system, the only alternative is that we become totally immersed in the ocean of his word and grope for the significances. Our soul has within it the matrix of this order and the counterpart for all things in the creative word. 137. If we become sensitive to the pulsings of our soul as it is stimulated by the word of God and by reflection upon the manifestations of the world of nature and the principles of the administrative order, we will increasingly recognize that a resonance is being established, bringing us ever closer to comprehension of the pattern and standard of the system of Baha'u'llah. A thorough and comprehensive study of the writings of Baha'u'llah is our only hope. But we may rest assured that when we discover the secrets and the pearls of wisdom of this new system, there is nothing that will not fall into place. Part 6, Summary. Look around you and think for a moment. There is one universal law that pervades all things. All things are a particular manifestation or expression of that law. All things are united. Yet there is a diversity of expressions that, on a certain level, seems to us to be infinite. What are the common elemental processes or expressions of that law, which we all share? How am I partaking of this process in the same way as the starfish, the giant sequoia, the Eskimos of the Arctic, or the administrative order of the faith of Baha'u'llah? What is the pattern connecting you to each of these things, and them to each other, and all of us to the roof over our heads? Shoghi Effendi has provided an incredible contribution to the future reorganization of the world in deducing from the philosophical principles of Baha'u'llah the manner in which they could be comprehensively applied in a particular application, namely the construction of the administrative order, the nucleus of the organic entity of the entire planet. Through studying the systemic structure and dynamic qualities of the organic principles of the administrative order, as they have been deduced from the universal philosophy of Baha'u'llah, we will gain knowledge of the basic systemic structure, function, and relationships underlying every other aspect of creation. By discovering knowledge of these universal processes, the underlying foundation of any particular process, be it psychological, sociological, biological, spiritual, educational, or scientific, will be laid bare before our minds. In following the path indicated by Baha'u'llah for searching out the fundamentals of true philosophy, in systematizing the principles elaborated by Shoghi Effendi for the administrative order, and in studying the extant scientific and philosophical literature in light of these writings, Baha'i scholars will find themselves well down the road toward integrating and unifying our philosophical approach to all aspects of life on this planet. From the education of children through through the reorganization of the curriculum that Abdu'l-Bahá calls for in The Secret of Divine Civilization, 138, to an understanding of the nature of spiritual growth and development, and from an understanding of the fundamental and necessary relationships that bind society on all different levels, to the application of our appropriate methods of science by the institutions of the faith, our approach will be integrated. If we work together as a community, first in discovering and systematizing the most essential principles of this philosophy, and then in systematically translating these principles into reality and action, we will realize tremendous benefits from their application at all levels of the system. Our educational systems will be unified, organized, and coordinated around this single set of principles, which must, of necessity, permeate and underlie the reality of all things. The explanation and teaching of the fundamental philosophy of the administrative order can be organized around the model of a dynamic, unified system, the human body, which is capable of being understood at many different levels, from the very simple to the highly complex. This model, which has an inherent integrity, can serve as the central metaphor for a curriculum which is adaptable to the educational level, rank, and station of the people or institutions being taught. An understanding of the principles of the philosophy expressed within one institution or entity at one level and in one instance will be directly transferable to our understanding of the principles for other institution, science, culture, for another institution.